Thanks, Joyce. Today I want to focus in on another passage that is tied in there nicely with peace. It's this one, Ephesians chapter 4. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, peace is a hard thing. It doesn't happen with the snap of a finger. It's very difficult. It's a process. And so Paul gives the exhortation. Ephesians 4 shifts quickly. This is strong urging here, exhortation. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Dr. David Ludwig is a Lutheran pastor, and I've met him a few times. He's very famous. Maybe some of you have heard of David Ludwig, but he likes to suggest that peace is difficult because we all have very different communication styles. And he boils down the communication styles to two. We're either painters or pointers. Maybe you've heard this before. Some of us are pointers. In other words, when we process things internally. We think about it very carefully. We stew it over inside. And then when we want to make a point, we stick to the point. We don't go off in another direction. We're detailed and we're right on point and we share it. Sometimes it takes a while to get to that point for pointers, but they do that. Now, painters are completely different. Painters think externally. They say things out loud before they even know where they're going. Maybe you know someone like this. They speak about sports or the weather, and you don't even know where they're going, and they're painting brush strokes, painting a big picture. Sometimes it takes a painter a long time to get their point across. Pointers, painters. Well, which one do you think you are, a pointer or a painter? How many pointers do we think that we have here this morning? Pointers? How many painters? All right. Well, pretty much even. We got a lot of conflict at peace.
Wow.
Ludwig will go on in his research and studies, great Lutheran pastor, and he'll say this, that actually painters and pointers actually attract to one another, sometimes romantically, but also in the workplace, that there's some sort of sense and an attraction because the other brings out the goodness of the other and expands their horizon. But at some point, disharmony comes. And you can imagine how that goes. And here's how the disharmony goes. When a pointer insists on communicating to a painter, that's when trouble sets in. A pointer says, this is the way it is, and there's no doubt about it, and you better listen to me. That's when the painter says, you've missed a lot of the picture here. Trouble happens when a painter insists on their way of communicating to a pointer. This is the way that goes. Well, the Beavers played really well today. The weather's so nice today. The news was really slow today. And the pointer says, get to the point, my goodness. Get on point. You know those sorts of people. There is nothing wrong with actually inherently being a painter or a pointer. There's no sin in either one, but we must recognize that at a certain point, disharmony comes, and that's where the conflict comes. So Paul says, make every effort. I'm going to repeat that. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, this ain't no eloquent speech here. This was a personal experience of Paul himself. Paul had conflict. Think about the conflict that he had with the main disciple of Jesus. There were two prominent disciples in the New Testament, Peter and Paul. They didn't get along. Galatians 2 says they split apart, never to really talk all that much together. The issue about Peter and Paul was that Paul came up to Peter and said, Peter, you should be eating with Gentiles. You know better than that. Christ has freed us. Why don't you sit down and have a lamb, or I don't know what they had in the first century, something fancy. Why don't you sit down with Gentiles? And he gave his argument. Paul did. And we know that Peter then gave his argument. And what we know from Galatians 2 and Acts 15 is that the two went separate and divergent ways. Scholars are interested with this conflict. Some scholars will say, well, maybe the source of conflict was Peter. Peter knew Jesus, so he felt he was more prominent. He was there, and Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Paul was not one of the disciples. He saw the resurrected Lord. Perhaps there's a little tit-for-tat status thing going on. Or perhaps it's a painter versus pointer issue. Paul was a pointer. That's what he was. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, studied under Gamaliel, studied in Tarsus. He liked to stick to the point and explain it very tightly, and he does so in the New Testament. Peter is a blubbering painter. I can make fun of painters, friends, because I am a painter. So now you know all the mistakes that I make. I am a painter. Peter blurts things out. Oh, Jesus, don't do what you're going to do. Jesus stops him. Stop, Peter. Stop. You haven't even thought through what you're going to say. Peter and Paul go separate ways. So Paul's speaking from personal experience when he says, make every effort to maintain the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. How do you do that? Well, it happens, I'm going to suggest this morning, when we shift from I language to we. When we stop insisting on our way, and we recognize that we have allies and we see the others in our life as we. You know, the secular world has actually figured this out. It's capturing it more and more as the years pass. What I mean by that is this. Companies and organizations that have a we culture, it has been proven, are very successful. Jim Collins, who recently wrote a book called Good to Great, an excellent read, studied indicators of successful companies, big companies, and researched a whole bunch of paperwork, financial statements, and he came up with 5 indicators of what makes a successful organization or company. And what Jim Collins found in his researchers, what they discovered, was that companies in which they had an egocentric leader that made I statements, I made the change in the company, and I explained everything just perfect, and I am the one who made the change here, Collins found that those companies were mediocre and headed downward. The research shows, and companies are figuring this out now, that actually companies that were successful had a we culture. That actually the CEOs and the leaders were self-effacing, humble, behind the scenes, you didn't even know who they were, and they oftentimes talked about the successes of we in the company, a we culture. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian church has known about the power of we way before the secular world, through Jesus. And that is how peace comes into our hearts. When we set aside the I and we recognize the we. In the Old Testament, God didn't want his people to just think it was all about them. So he sent them prophets so that they could work with the prophets and work with the priests. It was a we type activity. And then in the New Testament, God sent his son Jesus so that his people would know it's not just them doing it through their power, but it's we, it's Christ and the Holy Spirit that he sends. And so we see passages in the New Testament that say this, whenever 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am with you. That is a we theology. There you have it. At Peace Lutheran Church, we must guard against this tightly. Everything that happens here is we, not I. Here's an example from the liturgy of the church. The prayers of the church, they're called the corporate prayers of the church. They're not my prayers. I say them, but we all say them together, corporate, another we all say them together, and we lift our voices up to God. Not one person does that. The projects that we've had, today's the annual meeting at Peace. We're going to meet in the fellowship hall and talk about the great things that were done this year. We did build a patio. We had some. We have air conditioning. We got new furnaces this year. We have lights. It's great. Not one person did that. We are a family at Peace Lutheran. So we resist the I culture. I insist on having my way. And we recognize that everything we do is we, coupled with Jesus in the mix. Dear friends, the Apostle Paul, I believe, figured this out. The reason why I say that is because there was another episode in the New Testament where Paul was with a lot of conflict in the church at Corinth, and a great debate happened in the church. We actually read a little bit about it here in chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. It's also in chapter 3. Take it home, look it up. Here's the debate. Some got up and said, "I was baptized by Peter. It was awesome. I have extra power." Another person stood up and said, "I was baptized by Apollos." In chapter 3, it talks about, well, Paul should get the credit for what he did at the church. And Paul learned from his mistake earlier, the eye and insisting on his way and being a pointer, talking to a painter. And Paul says this, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth." We. How is God moving you in your life? Shifting you from I, shifting you from the way you work to shifting to a we culture. Here's one way that we can apply this in our own lives. Here's what really hurts us in our Christian walk when we label people. She's a pointer. That's just the way she is. She's going to bring it up. Just don't pay any attention to her. That's the way she is. He's a painter. He doesn't have any discipline in what he says. He just blabs on and goes all his different way. He's an athlete. There's no way he has brains. She's outgoing. Don't hang around her. She's going to take over. It's going to be crazy. What happens if we looked at everyone without labels and saw everyone in our life, everyone, as an ally? Perhaps God placed that pointer in your life to sharpen you. Perhaps God sent that painter in your life to broaden your perspective on things. Perhaps God gave you a teacher in your life to round you out. Perhaps God gave you the children in your life or grandchildren to shape you into who you are. The more we step aside from I and insist on our way, and the more that we see we and recognize allies in our life, we gain a heart of peace. May that one little shift, and knowing that Jesus is involved in that mix, his peace from God, may that peace rest within our hearts today. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit every week, Lord, it's really about one thing: shifting away from insisting on our way and going yours. Give us that heart, Lord. For every single person here, Lord, there's a different message today. And Lord, help us to see whoever that person is in our life that may cause angst and worry or pain, help us to see them as an ally and seek after a heart of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.